Auburn loses two guys with a ton of experience. And let's talk a little bit more about this JUCO ruling.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off. And you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, aka Charlie Five, and we're ready to get after it. Happy Friday, Friday after Christmas, leading up to the new year. I don't know. This week after Christmas is always weird. You don't really know what to do. You can't get any work done because you know you got New Year coming right around the corner. But we get a weekend to kind of hang out in the middle of it. So but let's talk about, we have two players that are going into the portal that have a ton of experience between them. Both of them, the JUCO ruling didn't necessarily cause them to go into the portal, but it gave them some extra eligibility, and they chose to try to pursue that eligibility elsewhere. We're going to talk about that in detail in just a moment. But before we do that, we got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon codes, plural, TNR Casino for a 300% deposit bonus, and then use coupon code next round for a 50% deposit bonus. The casino bonus can only be used in the casino, but my gracious, whatever you deposit, they multiply it by three and give it to you in free play for you to go have fun there. Then carry that over, all your winnings over to the sports book and have some fun there too. A lot of fun, easy deposits, with easy withdrawals, mybookie.ag. Auburn loses two guys to the transfer portal. Two very, very seasoned veterans in Percy Lewis and Keontae Scott, both of which have JUCO experience. Both of them played JUCO. Keontae Scott came straight to Auburn from JUCO, and then Percy Lewis went to Mississippi State from JUCO. So both of those guys are going to take advantage of the extra year, at least 1 year of eligibility waiver that was given after the Diego Pavia case was sort of ruled in his favor, that JUCO eligibility should not count against your NCAA eligibility. So in other words, if you went to JUCO, it's just like an extension of high school. It doesn't count against your college five years to play four. It doesn't count against that at all. So that's what the ruling is saying. So all these guys that have multiple years of JUCO experience, now you get to use those for college. Now the only catch was they ruled to I think yesterday was that it has to be from 2000 on. If you're a 2019 player, you can't. There are some guys out there that have some, that would have some eligibility because of this, that could play an extra seventh year. But that's not going to be the case. He's got to be 2000 and beyond. So let's talk about each one of these guys. Talk about Keontae Scott, talk about Percy Lewis and what Auburn's losing. And then I want to dive a little bit into the positives and the negatives of this JUCO ruling and what we can expect in college football moving forward. Keontae Scott, I'm kind of torn on this one. I don't want to have revisionist history and act like he wasn't a good player in 2022 and 2023. I think everybody was fired up that he was coming back. I think there may have even been an issue where he went into the portal last offseason. I can't quite remember. Or either there was a lot of talk that he was going to enter the portal, and then he would either withdrew his name or he never went in. But there was a lot of nervousness that he was going to go elsewhere because he had such a good previous season. And again, I regardless of what happened this year, I don't want to act like he was never a good player at Auburn, and there's just no value whatsoever in bringing him back. He gets an extra year because of this ruling, and he's going into the portal. He's going to seek playing time elsewhere. I think the big mistake he made was insisting on moving to outside corner from nickel. I think he had carved a niche at nickel. I think he was a very effective nickel. I think he was really good when he was close to the ball. The further away that he got from the ball, the more he struggled. His production dropped off significantly this year, and his snaps dropped off significantly as well. Some of it was due to injury, so I'm not going to act like it was all just because he had a down season. But some of it was because of that move outside. It just really, really hurt his production. I understand that outside corners are the blockbuster paycheck amounts in the NFL. But at the end of the day, you can only play what you can play. So that the nickel was sort of like his role. So he could have easily played that role for many, many years in the NFL. I think of guys like Jonathan Jones that played at Auburn, carved out a role at nickel in the NFL, and especially with the Patriots. I don't know exactly where he is now, but played for multiple years at nickel, and I think that's what he could have been. He could have been, you know, that at the next level, and hopefully wherever he goes, maybe he gets back into some kind of role like that. But he started the first three games at corner, outside corner, and it was not good. It just wasn't. He was picked on quite a bit. Then he was moved back inside to nickel once guys started to pass him. But then he got a little dinged up, but in reality, guys were passing him at nickel as well. He just struggled in coverage this year big time. He was, I think, sort of the book was out on him, and he was picked on very often. Like, it was almost like a concentrated effort to get one-on-one coverage with Keontae, and he was going to get beat. I don't know. I can't really point to why that's the case, because it was seemingly the opposite the year prior, to where he was one of the better players in coverage, even though he was at nickel. He was one of the better players at run support. He was one of the better players at, you know, coming downhill and tackling in space and blowing up plays in the backfield. Like, he was one of the better players at that. And he had a ton of success at that last season. But for whatever reason, man, he just production just dropped off big time, big time. Even punt returning last year, he led the SEC in average yards per return. Nearly 15 yards per return last year on punt team. And then this year it drops all the way down to a little over 6. And then he started having fumbling problems, muffing problems. And they ended up replacing him with Malcolm Simmons. Just don't really know what's going on there. I don't really know what all happened there, because there was, again, a lot of promise for him going into this season. I'm not going to pretend like this is just a complete don't care. He was never any good. I'm not going to play that game, because he was good. He was very good 2 years ago. And then for whatever reason, something happened. And I can't really figure out why. I don't know why, but I just hate that you had to go and, you know, you had so much promise. And then, like, what happens if he never moves from nickel to outside corner and he has another really big year this year? You got the opportunity to have him again. You know, you have the opportunity to be one of the older leaders in this secondary, very talented young secondary next season. But, you know, for whatever reason, it just didn't work out this past year. I don't know if it was a personality thing. I don't know if it was a system thing or what, but it just didn't work. And he's going to go try his luck elsewhere. And obviously, I'm going to wish him the best of luck. I don't know that unless something changed at Auburn, something changed with him, I don't really know that there was a clear path to playing time. With all of the young guys that stepped up this past year, and then all the really talented young guys that are coming in this next season, or this all these freshmen that are going to get here at the beginning of January, coupled with this with the older guys, I just don't know that there was a clear path to playing time. So it's probably a wise decision that he pursues something elsewhere. And this JUCO ruling gives him that opportunity to not end on a quote unquote bad note, so to speak. So good luck to him. Wish him the best. Again, I do think it's a loss. I do think it's a loss. It's you just happen to have guys that you feel like can replace his production. And if it's if he didn't have the drop off from 2023 to 2024, we'd be talking about this a lot more as a big time loss. So best of luck to Keyonte Scott. Another one, Percy Lewis. Look, there was a ton of high hopes for Percy Lewis. You're talking Senior Bowl, was tweeting about this when Auburn added him. Auburn's going to break the streak of adding offensive tackles to the NFL, and it's going to start with Percy Lewis. I mean, those were the type articles that you saw. I mean, that came from Jim Nagy with the Senior Bowl, who literally scouts dudes for a living. That's what he does. He scouts college players for a living to get them to his game, the Senior Bowl, and then obviously he's a, you know, helps communication with NFL teams as well. So that's just what he does. There's tons of positives around that signing and tons of positive outlooks. He changes the offensive line. He allows Dylan Wade to move inside to guard. He gives you the flexibility. He gives you this. He gives you that. And then literally none of it materialized for a number of reasons. Some of it was just his play, unfortunately. He just wasn't quick enough. There was one game I looked at. I think it was Missouri. Missouri, he played three snaps and gave up a sack. Alabama, he may have played, I think it was Alabama. He played maybe one or two snaps, and like the very first snap he went in, he got a false start. Just never seemed to be able to put it together at Auburn, and can't really understand why. Don't really understand why. Because, you know, for the most part, I know the offensive line is still not where we want it to be, but for the most part, from the previous year to this year, you gave up less sacks. You had more yards per carry. You played a little bit better as a whole on offensive line, but Percy Lewis was not the reason why. He struggled, and obviously he was replaced pretty quickly. Just never was a fit. Never was a fit. And I know some people are like, oh my gosh, well, we're bringing in another portal offensive tackle that we're hoping, that we're hinging all of our hopes and dreams to, like we did with Percy. Well, the difference is Percy was like the 13th ranked offensive tackle in the portal, and Xavier Chaplin was the number one. So that's a pretty big jump. That's a pretty big gap. And Xavier Chaplin was a full-time starter, and Percy was sort of like a part-time starter at Mississippi State, which is, you know, it's Mississippi State. It just is what it is. I mean, I don't have to go any further. I don't have to go any further there. So he gets some extra eligibility. He's going to go seek some playing time elsewhere. I don't think he had a pathway to playing time at all, even with the extra year. I just don't think there was a good spot for him on this roster as far as getting in there and being able to play. I don't think he really fit switching over to right tackle. He definitely wasn't quick enough to play left tackle. And I just wish him the best of luck elsewhere. He's going to have to probably take a step down and get a bunch of reps. Get a bunch of reps and just get better. I think that's the only pathway for him to get in anywhere close to the next level. Is to take a step down and get you a bunch and find you a good spot where you can play. Doesn't matter where it is. And then work out consistently, drop your weight, work on your quickness, and just rep and get ready for the NFL, because that's really your only chance. But that's another one where Auburn could have had an extra year of eligibility out of these guys because of this JUCO ruling, but they chose to go elsewhere. And I don't think you necessarily lose on either one. I think you have better players taking over their spots as starters and in depth. So we'll see what happens with both of them. Obviously, wish them both the best of luck. I want to talk a little bit about the positive. I've been hearing a lot of talk about the positives and negatives of this JUCO ruling. I want to get into that in just a second. But before we do that, I want to give a shout out to our boy Ford Stokes with Active Wealth. Go to retirementresults.com/plan. And get your custom portfolio analysis absolutely free. It's a $1,500 value. He'll check to make sure you're not paying crazy fees. He'll check to make sure you're taking advantage of the right products. He'll check and make sure that the plan you're on is going to close that gap for when you do get to retirement, that your dollar is going to go as far as it possibly can go. You'll make a great friend at the same time. Tell him War Eagle. Tell him we sent you. That's Ford Stokes with Active Wealth. is it good? Is it bad? That's what the conversation's been. And I think there's pretty good arguments on both sides of this JUCO ruling. There will be an appeal. Okay. So this thing's not permanent yet. This is just a 1 year little extension of eligibility for some guys. I don't know how it's going to play out. Some people think this is not going to be a permanent thing. Some people think that once it's appealed, they'll have some sort of agreement and it'll go back to at least somewhat like normal. And then there's some that think, hey, this could be a permanent thing where JUCO guys now, it doesn't count towards their eligibility. And I think there's people on both sides of the fence. I'm just going to give you a little bit of positives and negatives, and then you kind of make your own decision, and I'll give my opinion at the end. So the positives. Number one, this saves JUCO sports, in my opinion. The transfer portal was killing JUCO sports. There's no incentive. There's no incentive to go get a JUCO guy when you can go watch actual game film of a kid in D1 playing D1 competition. There's no incentive whatsoever. It's a gamble. Why would you take a kid that doesn't have 4 years in theory? Why would you take that kid when I can just go scout? You know, I can go scout all these guys in the portal and find one that may be equal, better than or equal to, and actually has game film at the collegiate level that I can actually get some kind of grasp on. It's not JUCO competition versus JUCO competition. It's D1 on D1 and get a little bit of a better idea of what type of player I'm getting. I think it was killing JUCO sports. I think it was killing JUCO sports in general, all of it, except for maybe baseball. JUCO used to be the transfer portal. If you think about it, that used to be the thing. Think about Cam Newton. Think about all these guys. They would go down to JUCO for one season and then jump back up. That used to be the thing. But this transfer portal just has completely killed JUCO sports. I mean, basically kids go to JUCO and then there's no real chance they're going to go anywhere after that. Even some of the better players, just because of, you know, the transfer portal. Some kids have to go the JUCO route. I mean, they, for whatever reason, it could be a family situation. It could be an academic situation. It could be a financial situation. Some kids just have to go to JUCO. And this, the transfer portal was basically, if they went there, essentially their career was pretty much over. There was just not a lot of pathways for them to get back to big time college football because of the transfer portal. Some kids, when they did go to JUCO and they got up, they exhausted their eligibility there and graduated, they come to college football and then you only got 2 years to play. Your first year, you're spent, unless you're just a baller, which there are very few of those, but unless you're just a baller, you come in and you have to get acclimated. Sometimes you don't even play that much. And then you're hoping maybe I get one shot at it my senior year. I think of Xavier Miller. Xavier Miller, there wasn't even a the thought was not like him playing so much the first year he got here was not part of the plan. He was going to, I mean, in reality, I think they probably would have loved to redshirt him so he could play 2 years. But no, he had to get thrown into the fire. And so his first year, he's drinking through a fire hose. Is he really even getting better? I mean, he's obviously getting the reps, but he's just getting thrown into the fire. And he actually played pretty good. It ended up being, you know, a pretty good deal for him. But that, I mean, that's just an example of, you know, guys coming in from JUCO. They only got 2 years. They got to make the most out of it. But man, that first year, you're swimming, your head spinning, trying to get used to it, get up to speed. And I think this gives them just a little bit more time, obviously, to get adjusted, get used to the speed of the game, learn how to practice, you know, break bad habits. Not to say all JUCO coaching is bad or anything like that or a detriment, but it's a different level. So there's definitely going to be some bad habits and things like that that you probably have to break, and that takes time. And now you don't have that count against you, I guess. So that's another bit a positive. Guys like Champ Anthony, Bobby Travis, Seth Wilfrid, and then I just mentioned Xavier Miller. All these guys are Auburn, you know, Auburn kids that their eligibility was coming close to an end. Some of it was at its end, and now they get an extra at least one more year to play at Auburn, to get better, to make more money in the NIL, just a little bit more time to spend at Auburn. So definitely some positives there, but there are some negatives too. And there's some big ones, I think. Number one is this, to me, really hurts fringe high school kids. When I say fringe, what I mean by that is like those mid-tier three-star kids, those late bloomers, those kids that didn't camp a lot, those kids that just firmly rely on their high school production, and there's not a lot of marketing around them, small school kids. A lot of those kids, I think, that would have been able to go to like a Troy or a South Alabama or a Georgia Southern or a Georgia State, I think you're going to see a lot of those kids have to either A, go the JUCO route, or maybe even go to like Division II or something like that. Like guys that probably could have gotten a D1 scholarship somewhere with good marketing, this hurts them. This hurts high school recruiting a little bit because it just gives you so many more options. It just gives you so many more options to get players other than high school. I mean, there are thousands of kids in the transfer portal. There's thousands of kids in the transfer portal. There's hundreds of JUCO kids. And now those JUCO kids can come in at 20 years old with 4 years of eligibility if it becomes a permanent thing. So I can see that where it really can put a hindrance on high school kids in being able to get to a D1 program. I think it could definitely hurt that. Hey, and then you better have a plan when you go in the portal. I know sometimes it's sort of we don't need you anymore. You need to try to find somewhere to play, and you may not necessarily have that plan right away. But if you're just going in the portal to try to, you know, and you had the option to stay where you are, if you're going into the portal, but you have the option to stay where you are, you better have a plan, because this just insanely increases your competition on getting a spot somewhere else. I could see an argument where some of these guys may be more enticing because, again, you're getting a 20-year-old kid who has 4 years of eligibility if this thing becomes permanent. I can see where that is something that's a lot more appealing than going in and getting a transfer portal kid at times. So there's definitely some negatives. There's definitely some negatives that are going to make some pathways a lot tougher for kids. So you got to definitely weigh it out for sure. If you're going to go in the portal and you can stay somewhere, you better have a plan. You better have been tampered with or seeking to be tampered with, because if you're just going into the portal and hoping your phone's going to ring, you may be in for a rude awakening, because you just got your competition level as far as competing for another spot ramped up by, you know, a fair amount. So definitely some negatives as well. Overall, I'm probably in the minority, but I like it. I like it. I like the idea of these kids that maybe come up with, you know, grow up with a little bit of a tougher background, or financially, they need to go this route. Academically, they need to go this route. There may be a late bloomer. They may have a sick family member or something like that, and they needed to stay home and help take care of them. So they went to the local junior college. There's so many stories that I think this could help benefit and doesn't just put a roadblock at them being able to succeed. I think this helps stuff like that. And on the flip side, I think it also helps kids when they get to their college. It helps them get acclimated, gives them time to get up to speed. And again, it saves JUCO sports. I think JUCO sports was reeling big time. JUCO basketball, there's almost, I mean, how many JUCO basketball players actually do you see anymore? Go to big time schools. I mean, the transfer portal for basketball may be even crazier than the transfer portal for football and baseball. Again, I don't really see it affecting baseball much because that JUCO scholarship for baseball is big, with baseball being one of those sports that say, you know, Title IX, you know, constraint at the next level where you don't get full scholarships in D1. But you can get full scholarships in JUCO. I think that doesn't really affect them too much. But basketball and football, this helps those JUCO sports teams out a ton. And it makes it a little bit easier to swallow going to a JUCO. So if you're borderline and you don't want to, and you think you're better than, you know, maybe taking a lower tier school or a D2 school, you think you're D1 quality, a big time SEC or big time Power 5 quality, it doesn't hurt so bad to go to JUCO because now you can go and you can prove yourself and then you can come in with 4 years of eligibility if the appeal is granted and they keep it like it is. If it's just a one-year thing, then this whole conversation is kind of moot. But we'll see what happens. I think that this college game is constantly evolving and transforming, and I don't know where it's going to end. But this is a unique thing that I never would have expected. This wasn't even to me like on my mind of things that could happen. You know what I mean? So like, what's next? What's the next thing that's going to pop out? It's going to be very interesting to see. So guys, I really appreciate it. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. We'll have a hoops pod up here today as well. We'll talk about the preseason, the non-conference season, and then looking forward in the conference as well. Just all kind of stuff going on at the Barn Auburn YouTube page. You need to subscribe. Village Vice have been putting out some bangers too. They've been hilarious. Milkshakes for Jackson is a classic that will go down in the history books. So definitely need to find that one. Find that Village Vice and check on that one because that's obviously hilarious. You subscribe to thebarnauburn.com where you'll be up to date on all your portal recruiting and team news. And then obviously, if you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. And we're going to be back again Sunday night live. So make sure you're ready for that one. Dap's going to join me for that one. And we're definitely going to talk about all the news coming up, maybe discuss this JUCO stuff with him as well. So guys, appreciate it. Have a great weekend. We'll talk again soon. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening and drive home safely.